I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Bogey or Better podcast. We are your bogey machines. I am Cameron, and we have Dylan with us.
What's going on, guys?
We have got a jam-packed episode, but you can't start this week's episode without talking about Winged Foot and the U.S. Open. It is, I mean, just what a way to make professionals look like amateurs. This course seems to be not fun at all. At least what I was seeing, the rough looked about 4 inches, is I think what they were measuring. The grass was 4 inches.
The rough was 7 to 8 inches.
7 to 8 inches. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's not fun at all.
And the groundskeepers were saying they are, not the groundskeepers, but the head of Winged Foot was saying they were not going to cut it from the start of the practice rounds Monday. They have not cut it since today.
Since then, yeah. So it's just gotten worse and worse. Mm-hmm. It's just continuing to grow because they're watering it. So it's getting fuller. It just looks so difficult. And I feel bad for these players, man.
And the really funny problem, I guess, is a few of the pros were saying it. There's no fans. So no one is matting down the grass.
Right.
So it's just, it's fluffy as could be.
Yeah, I never actually thought about that before. Yeah. How much, because especially like a U.S. Open, there's thousands and thousands of fans walking that rough.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, it still is going to be a thick rough, but that ball's going to sit more on top because the grass is nice and compacted down. But, I mean, it is, there's only a couple spectators out there, and they're just volunteers that are marking balls. It's so funny to watch somebody just put one right in the rough, and then a volunteer's got to mark it with a flag because they wouldn't be able to find it.
Yeah, I would love to have someone follow me around on the golf course and mark the ball where it lands.
Right?
That would be
fantastic.
That's
at least 2 or 3 strokes right there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, how many times have you hit a pretty good shot and it may be a little left or a little right and you can't find it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just because you can't see that far down, or you didn't see it land, but you know it's in this vicinity, and it's just gone. It's so frustrating. Sometimes I can't even count that drop because I knew it was a good shot. It just I don't feel like taking 5 minutes and looking for it. So I just want to keep pace of play. If you're playing like legit, then no, you got to either find it or drop it. But if I'm just playing just me, and I'd rather keep it moving. But I mean, the fact that out of 4 rounds, the leader is gonna tee off at just 5 under, and that itself is just crazy, like that he's played that well.
Yeah, like that's pretty good, being 5 under. I think last year's U.S. Open there was only 2 players under par.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Yeah,
they really put all the effort into making it extremely difficult, and I find it almost refreshing because they do it because they want to show really how good these players are. And all of them are great players, but right now, if you look at Matt Wolf, he's playing exceptionally better than the field. Exceptionally better. Because like you were saying, Dylan, what was the worst round for Sunday so far?
Sebastian Munoz, I think that's how you pronounce it, shot an 82.
Ooh.
Yeah, he finished the tournament at plus 24.
So 82, that's 12 over for a day. And I'd be very happy if I walked on a random course and shot an 82. But just like a professional U.S. Open Masters, or not Masters, Major, a professional U.S. Open Major, to shoot 12 over par, that's not hitting fairways. That's somebody who's putting it in the rough 50% of the time. They've got to be.
Yeah.
I know the percentage for the fairways hit, I think, is in the 40s. I don't even think it's reach 50. Yeah. That's how bad it is.
We look at Dustin Johnson playing out of the sand.
So not only do you have to get through the terrible thick rough, complete but other end if of the you green don't almost, land it on the green,
bounce right and flop out be, and just trickle back all the way down towards the hole. He had hit it. It rolled all the way up the green, and then he proceeded to walk out of the sand, go around to put his club away and get his putter, and it was still rolling. it was a shot that took 40 seconds. Yeah, it's outrageous. And as the day goes on, it gets faster and faster. So if these guys that were in the morning with slower greens are shooting 8, 9, 10 under or 10 over, I mean, I would be surprised if Matt Wolf continues where he's at. You know, I mean, if they each just shoot like 2 over, that would be pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun final round. I think it's going to be really close.
I wouldn't mind it if like Hideki and Louis Oosthuizen, I hope, you know, they play well, but it would be nice if really all that was in contention was Bryson and Matt Wolf. Because it's very futuristic ways of playing by them too.
Yeah, I think that's how it's gonna happen. I will say this. If Bryson's driver is on, I think Bryson wins it.
Yeah, yeah. If he can do it, even with, we were talking about this earlier, when he was paired with Patrick Reed, he hit it 380 yards on a par 4.
That's so ridiculous.
Into the rough. And Patrick Reed hit it into the rough, but 91 yards shorter. So Patrick had to lay up because the rough was so bad. But Bryson was only 78 yards away from the hole. So even though he was in the rough, he still had a shot at it. I mean, Matt Wolf can drive the ball phenomenally and far, but he can't hit a 380-yard drive. But he can put 340, 350 out,
yeah.
Especially with his Jim Furyk type swing.
Yeah, it's Jim Furyk times 1,000. That is the most windy swing I have ever seen.
I love watching the pros like try and emulate it.
Yeah.
There's a video of Jason Day trying to do it,
mm-hmm.
and he tops that driver so like. You know, like when we get up to a tee box and we try to just hit it as hard as we can and we basically just hit it with the bottom of the driver, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And these guys do this for a living, even though that's just how focused they are on their specific mechanics, that just that little bit of difference makes them swing like we do.
Yeah.
Because he goes so far out, almost like a baseball, like you would swing it at a pitch. You bring that club up high.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get to where he shallows that club, it looks like a beautifully perfected swing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just his takeaway is so outrageous.
Oh, and it just shows that all that matters is your hands end up where they began. I mean, that's all that matters. You can do anything pretty much in your takeaway and everything. But as long as your hands come back to where they were, you're going to hit the ball fine.
Yeah. I was noticing that while I was watching some videos of our round last week, and I really take the club away really inside, like aggressively inside. Mm-hmm. And I never noticed it until I was doing it. And there was no way that I could swing through the ball because it was so far inside without leaving the face like wide open.
Right.
And so I come back over, and that's why I hit those like tight little cuts,
mm-hmm.
but if I don't square the club up, that's where I get my slices from.
See, I thought that was something you were doing on purpose because it's a very drastic change that I've seen in your swing since like we played maybe last year.
Yeah.
I've
never noticed it until now.
Yeah.
I was like, it just seemed odd. I've been trying to keep it more compact.
Mm-hmm.
And focus more on rotating, but I'm pulling my arms mm-hmm. back because I'm so used to coming over the top. So I'm trying to keep that club behind me, but I'm just overtly doing it. And I mean, my shots are still fine, but if I can eliminate that inside takeaway, I think I can get a more consistent draw instead of like a hook. Because if I try to draw it, I tend to hook it instead of a nice a nice draw, and I think it's because I'm coming so far inside. And then if I try and cut it, because I'm so far inside, I have to overtly bring it over the top, and that's where I get that big slice. So I'm going to try and neutralize that a little bit, because I was just watching so much golf this weekend, and then I watched myself, and I'm like, that does not look good.
Yeah. Last week, I was, for some reason, hitting a fade. Mm-hmm. And
and you never do that.
I never do that. I've been hitting a draw for a long time, and I went out yesterday and played 9 holes on today's Sunday. So yesterday, Saturday, I played 9 holes, and I just really focused on getting my swing path back to how it felt, 2 weeks ago. And sure enough, I was hitting the right shape again. I'm still, there's just a kink in my swing somewhere where I'm mishitting it right now. And I'm like, I hit a few like just line drives, and I duffed a few chips, which I think that is me just getting used to the new wedges, but and a different bounce on the on my 56 degree. But I played much better yesterday than I did a week ago, for sure. And I'm happy with that. Shot a 39. And I'm much happier with that. Sometimes I just had a really bad round or a really bad front nine last week, and it was just awful. And instead of me trying to go back to the course that next day, I decided, let's just take 7 or 8 days off and just not even swing a club, and trying to just do a hard reset, and it worked for most of it.
I like doing that too. If I have a really bad round, it's normally all in your head. Mm-hmm. And it's not worth getting different swing thoughts in your head. Just take a break.
Yeah.
Just like if you feel like playing some golf, like go hit the putting green. Like spend a bunch of time putting and chipping. Mm-hmm. And you'll find out that if like you play the next week, you try not to swing as hard because you haven't had a lot of practice, and then that tends to work it out. I know for me it does, and we joke about that when we play. When I don't play for a long time, that's when I usually get dangerous because I just don't swing as hard. I don't try too drastically.
Yeah,
different things.
I think I was just honestly getting too loose and actually swinging kind of lazy. Because mm-hmm. I had, past 3 rounds were like 72, 73, and 80.
Some of the best golf you've played.
I've seen. And I think I was just like, oh, yeah, I can just do this. And I just got lazy with my swing, didn't have any swing thoughts going on. And, I just got lazy. So I think I'm back to where I need to be. I constantly need to be thinking about my swing thoughts while I'm going in there.
It's easy when you're on a roll to just go up and hit the ball.
Yeah.
And once that happens, that's when little things get in the way, because you want to have a purpose with every shot. And I tend to do the same thing. I just, off the tee, if it's pretty open, I just want to hit it. A stock shot, I'll just go up and hit it. And I'm not thinking like, all right, I'm going to hit a little tight cut, so I need my face to be a hair closed, with just a tad to the outside in. Just little things, or instead of just hitting it, because that's when usually I get that Bub Watson slice.
Yeah.
Because I give up because I'm not thinking about it. So I give up on the hips, rotating, just all that. So having the right mental attitude for each shot, not putting overt stress on yourself to try to do something ridiculous, but just have a plan in mind for each shot is gonna make your golf better. And I think it's going to make each swing more enjoyable, because there's going to be times where you do hit what you want to, and it'll be nice. You'll enjoy it more.
Yeah. I hit a shot on the 9th hole where I wish so badly I would have had a shot tracer, because it was a 3-wood off the tee, mm-hmm. and it had to, I hit a center of the club face, and it had to have gotten off the ground maybe 10 feet, and a nice tight draw, just a stinger draw 3-wood.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the fairway, beautiful, then 52 degree, 4 feet from the hole. and then lipped out for birdie. Of course, because that's what I do. That's what I do, Cam, is I had four lip outs for birdie in nine holes.
So you, yeah, and you shot what?
39.
Which is
this a four over. Four over, yeah.
So you were close to even?
Yeah.
Oh. That's pretty depressing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Are you? Do you have the U.S. Open right now, on right now?
Yeah, they're looking for a ball.
They've been, there's like 30 of them stepping on the rough because they can't find it.
Apparently somebody wasn't doing their job and wasn't looking for the ball.
Apparently there's so many, they're just going up and down lines, just trying to step on the ball.
That's really funny.
And they're just kicking the grass. Dude, look
at that. Look at that rough, man.
They're standing in it in their shoes and their pants are covered. Part of their pants are covered.
That's incredible. That is a jungle.
There's like 30 people there, and none of them can find it.
That sucks.
And they're standing there specifically. So they know it's in a, you know, 30 foot by 40 foot area, at least, right? I mean, you can see them. They're all in a tight, compact area, and they still can't find it.
Man.
That does not sound fun.
That's a bummer.
But yeah, you had a good nine holes. I didn't actually get to play golf this week. I was pretty upset about that, but I'm going to be playing a couple times next week. We'll be at the beach. And so I'm going to play at a golf course.
Beach you going to?
I've played it before. You know, Topsail up in North Carolina.
Topsail. I've never heard of that. No.
Yeah. So we're going to go up there. And then hopefully play. There's this, this course I want to try out. I don't know. There doesn't look like there's a lot of courses in the area. So I'm hoping to play that. I want to play twice while I'm up there. Cause I enjoy playing courses I've never played, and I've always wanted to do, like, play one day, however it goes, you know, go home, enjoy the day, and then the next day go out and play it again.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm fresh off that course, how it's rolling, how it is, and see the difference in my score.
Yeah. We're going in 2 weeks either to Hilton Head or to Myrtle Beach. Not sure which yet. And, yeah, I'm going to play a couple rounds when we go. Hilton Head, I wouldn't mind going to Hilton Head because there are some beautiful courses there that I would really like to play. There's a couple of Pete Dye and Jack Nicklaus, like, combined courses there.
I played the Hilton Head National, and that was a really fun course to play.
Yeah.
There was no houses on it at all.
Ooh.
So, nice. Yeah. So even if you do hit a wary tee shot, you're going to be able to find and play everything. Because where we are, there's courses and there's houses on them. That's just how it is down here.
Yeah, there's just the way. Is there any course around here that doesn't have houses on it?
No, not around here. That's the first one I've seen.
Lexington Country Club.
I don't know. I've never played Lexington,
but it doesn't seem like there's any houses around there.
I know. That'd be a good thing because I'd love to play. If anybody that is a member at Lexington Country Club, we've been wanting to play there for a while. That's a private course. I'd love to. They say it's difficult. They say the greens have gotten really, really fast.
Yeah. I talked to the pro at Golden Hills, which is a really nice semi-private club here in Lexington, South Carolina. And he said Lexington Country Club are the nicest and fastest greens in Columbia, maybe in South Carolina. But he said Golden Hills is second. They're the second fastest. Yeah.
Interesting. They're good. I don't mind that course.
They redid them all like maybe 3-4 years ago with Eagle Tip grass. And it was like $5 a square foot or something insane like that. Like, can you imagine how much money that is?
Yeah.
And there's some big greens on Golden Hills.
Yeah, there are. I'm wondering. Yeah, that's not fair. That's a lot. And honestly, I noticed the difference too, because with those greens, you can really tell the way the grain of the grass is growing, and it tremendously affects the speed. Because I don't normally play there. Normally we play at Charwood, and the way the grain grows, it doesn't necessarily affect it too much there. At Golden Hills, you can see, like, if you look down, you'll see patches of real dark and real light. Mm-hmm. And if you have a lot of real light patches, that is going to be a really quick green. And then you'll go to another hole and it's all dark and it's super slow comparatively. So that's a tough place to to putt well at, because you really have to, you can't just look at line. You have to look at where the ball's going to be traveling through, because there's that par five has a very, like, it's got a huge slope on that green. Oh, and yeah. I putt it right of the
You're
hole.
You're talking about number two?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it yeah. and I putt it up towards the, and it stopped by the hole, and the slope took it 30 yards basically the other way.
That is a difficult par five, because it's a sharp dogleg left, and it turns like at like maybe the 200 yard mark. So you can't really hit driver.
Yeah.
Unless you
just, hook your driver.
Yeah, if you just hit a perfect hook. So you're pretty much gonna be laying up on that par five, yeah, unless you can work some magic.
It's got a nice downhill towards the green, so if you can hit a 3-wood and then another 3-wood, you'll probably be like 50 yards.
Yeah.
Or 50 or 90 yards right around there, which is a nice little like layup. But you have to be short of the hole. Short and left of the hole. If you're right or high, you're 3-putting at least.
Yeah.
And that's a tough, like, I don't play there that often, so I never think about it. But now that we've talked about it, hopefully next time I play, I'll remember that. But I always put it right of the hole. And there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. You might as well just putt down the green and not even aim at the hole. Yeah. Just putt it down there because it's going to go there anyways.
Yep.
And then putt up.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I played there. I'd like to go play there sometime soon.
Yeah, we'll have to go do it. It's in good shape. Last time I played, there was a ton of rain. But it seems to be, all the golf courses seem to be in relatively good shape.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of rain.
I'm loving the weather right now, too. It's so nice and cool. It is beautiful.
We live in a very hot, humid part of South Carolina, and it is, when I was leaving, I was seeing it was like in the 60s.
Yeah.
And that's just, I wanted to be golfing so bad.
They call Columbia the armpit of the South, and that is very
true.
Great. We are in a bowl. It's just, I'm very surprised that it's actually in the 60s right now in September. I was thinking we'd have another month of, you know, 80 degree weather.
Yeah. I'm hoping it cools down.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it stays this way. It'll probably go back up. We'll probably get another hot run, and then it'll cool back down. Yeah. But guys, we got something really exciting for you.
Yes, we do.
So we teased it last episode, and we'll kind of start off with the story. A buddy of ours wanted to support us in our podcast and thought of a real fun way to give us a ton of content and a lot of fun ideas to try. We were talking more about just club selection and how having newer clubs, what's good, what's, if I want to upgrade, you know, where do I go? What do I do? So what Dylan and I did last week, we called it the Wilson Extravaganza. And we basically, we tried out a complete set of clubs from Wilson. It's the Wilson Ultra. It's driver, fairway wood, hybrid, and then it goes 6-iron to pitching wedge, right? Those are the irons, six to pitching wedge, and then a putter. Comes with all that, a bag, a nice little stand bag, and I thought I've never played Wilson clubs, but it came, it looks nice. I was looking forward to playing them. And so what we did was we played 18 holes, but we played the first 9 with our own set of clubs. And then we played the back 9 sharing this set of clubs. And then we switched to Wilson balls, Wilson gloves. We went full on. So if somebody, and there's a lot of people out there that play really old clubs that want to maybe upgrade, but it's not worth the money. Well, this Wilson set was $300 for everything. All you would need. If you're getting a complete set, that's all that you would need. And we'll talk more in this episode, maybe what's next to add once you start using them. Because there are things you want to add to that bag or change. But if you wanted to look into getting a complete set, Top Flight makes them. But we tried a Wilson set.
Yeah, and put that in perspective. A brand new driver costs about $400 to $450 for a driver, for, right, you know, a tailor-made sim driver, you know, like,
right,
the new one.
Brand new, like Tour Preferred.
This set is $300, and it comes with pretty much everything you need if you're just starting out in golf.
Yeah. And it was, we teased about it last episode, but this result surprised me. I know it surprised you too.
Yeah, it was very surprising.
So with our first nine holes, like you said, we used our own clubs, and I shot 7 over. Dylan, you shot 9, right? 9 over.
Yeah, it was not. It was.
It was not his best moment.
Yeah.
I was loving it because I was winning, and I don't win. I don't beat Dylan very often, so I was taking it in. But still relatively decent though, 7 and 9 over. So then we switched over. We got the Wilson set, and then we switched over to Wilson balls too. So we used a 2-piece Wilson ball off the tee, and I never really hit 2-piece balls off the tee.
I haven't hit a 2-piece ball since I was playing like nitros.
Because when you start playing better, you want more control around the green, and to get that, the ball has to be constructed differently. You usually get a 3 or 4-piece ball, or the TP5s, which are 5-piece, and you lose distance. So we're hitting this 2-piece ball, and man, that first tee we both hit some long drives.
Yeah. Because they just roll. Those balls just roll forever.
They don't get a ton of spin. They're made. So if I was trying to hit long drives, I would use that Wilson 2-piece ball. Mm-hmm. I found it very responsive. The driver, I'm used to playing like a nice Titleist driver. You have your nice TaylorMade driver.
Mm-hmm.
But that Wilson driver was not bad.
It wasn't. The two things for us probably are the shaft, which is, you know, a normal regular flex shaft, probably for like 80 mph swing speeds.
Yeah.
And then the grip.
Yeah.
Very, very thin grip.
Right. It's a bit, it's probably just around standard, your standard size grip. We both just upgraded to mid-size grip, so it did feel different for sure. But if you've never had a mid-size grip, that won't matter to you at all. But what's nice is like everything comes with a normal flex or stiff flex, so you don't have to swing hard at all. Just go back, make contact. That flex in the shaft will do it. The first two holes, or at least the first hole we played, we both birdied.
Yeah.
All with Wilson clubs. We both hit phenomenal drives. We chipped. You were on the green too, right?
Yeah, I was on the green.
And we were like 50, 60 yards out, and we had no wedges because the Wilson bag doesn't come with wedges. So we chipped with our pitching wedge.
Yep.
And honestly, it wasn't as... I never do that because I just don't think about it. But it was really easy to control. It wasn't that bad, honestly. I might try that every once in a while, switching it up. Because if you have the ability to just pitch it up there with a wedge with a pitching wedge instead of trying to flop it on there, it didn't turn out too bad. And then we use the, because it comes with a putter, so you don't have to worry about getting a putter.
Yeah.
And we both hit some really good putts.
And let me tell you, it feels so foreign just looking down at a blade putter. I do not like blade putters, guys. I am all about mallet putters. And it felt so foreign swinging that putter. But yeah, it was easy to control the face, and it felt fine. Yeah. It felt fine coming off the ball. I mean.
We hit two great. I mean, we both birdied the first hole, so
yeah,
you can't really get upset about birdies. And I mean, we both didn't play very well with our own clubs on the front nine, so it was really funny to then both birdie. I think were they both our first birdies of the day?
Yeah,
because I missed that birdie putt. Yeah, so it was our first birdies of the day and we had never touched these Wilson clubs. We didn't warm up with them or anything. So we just grabbed them out of the bag and hit them, and both birdied the first hole. So we were like, well, maybe we're switching for good now, you know, get some complete sets.
So I have a Wilson Seth putter.
You do? Yeah. Yeah, you could put that in that bag and it would match perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is that's like the Wilson staff. Yeah. I don't blame you. Because Wilson makes like Wilson staff, which is its like higher end.
Yeah, that's what the professional...
And Gary Woodland plays Wilson staff. They make, like, legit forged irons, like, really nice. But this is their, like, amateur level. I mean, obviously, it's a whole set of clubs for $300. It's a great deal. I liked it better because I have swung some top flights before, and I like this one better.
Yeah. The I think the only other, well, when I first started playing, we bought two sets. Me and my dad bought two sets of clubs for each of us. So my dad got a Dunlop set from Walmart, and I got the AVTs. From Walmart, and
that's good stuff.
Those Dunlop irons, actually, I probably played those after Dad got new ones. He gave me the Dunlop irons. I probably played those irons for like 2 years. They were fine.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what we were saying is the thing that you would mess with the least out of this set were the irons.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like that is the last thing you'll ever gonna want to touch on these. The irons are just cavity backs. Basic, you know, game improvement clubs, but they felt great. I mean,
felt good. They kind of felt springy off the face. Like they kind of just jumped off the face. They were nice.
Yeah. I really enjoyed hitting them. Yeah. They were a little heavier, I think, than mine. But I didn't mind it. I thought it was very, very enjoyable to play with. The woods now. I play really old woods, so it's foreign to see like a newer looking three wood. And I hit a couple good wood shots.
Mm-hmm.
Both did. Like I said, it was the shaft was more flexible than I'm used to, so I had to slow it down a little bit just to hit them. But I thought I was very happy with those clubs. I think we were talking about if you buy these clubs and you want to then upgrade, like what would you do first?
Yeah.
What would be the next step? I think wedges probably, just one maybe.
Yeah, I would add probably like a 54 or a 56 degree wedge.
Yeah. Because that's going to be good because you need something out of the sand. That pitching wedge, you're not going to want to hit out of the sand. So like if you get a 54... you can hit that, you know, usually 90, 100 yards just off the tee box. And then you could open the club face, hit it out of the sand. You could chip with it. So that's probably be what I would add out of that. And you can find cheaper 54 degrees. That's probably one of the more common degrees of wedge.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you can, don't worry about grinds and stuff like that until you start really getting into golf. That would probably be the first thing. What do you think the second thing would be?
I think, yeah, after a wedge, I would probably go ahead and invest in a driver.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, you know, go to your local golf shop and just hit some drivers off of, you know, their little simulator. But then don't buy that driver at the golf shop. Then you go on eBay and you buy whatever you liked hitting at the golf shop.
Exactly. Just at least go get fitted because that's going to be a bigger difference.
Yeah. If you can afford really getting fitted for a club, I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah. Because you're going to probably hit that off the tee a lot, even though I try to tell you stop hitting your driver off the tee. You're probably still going to do it anyways. So get a wedge to add to that. That's probably the first thing. And then go get a driver. But then shop around. Because you have that Wilson driver works fine. We hit great drives out of it. So once you start noticing like you want to improve on that and that Wilson driver is probably taking it as far as you can, then that would be the time to upgrade it. Then probably you would get a nicer hybrid, I would think. Right.
Yeah. Either hybrid or three wood. Fairway wood.
The putter, then probably you'd want to get a fun putter. That putter works great. But not all putters are the same. So if the way you putt is very straight back and forward, then you'd want to switch to the more mallet style.
Yeah.
And shop around. There's so many putters. So many putters.
There's so many putters, and there's so many, like we said last week, there's so many different putter companies.
Yeah.
Where you can get a really nice handmade, you know, putter for, you know, not a Scotty Cameron price, you know, you can get it for $150 instead of $400.
Yeah, and go try them out. That's the thing. Instead of starting out and like thinking, all right, I want a new driver. I need to go get a driver. And then you have to buy it that day because you need it. These clubs will be good for years. And then just use them. And then if you want to upgrade your putter, spend a year and try all different kinds of putters. Because basically a putter, they say, is like a 10-year investment. So spend some time on that putter.
Unless it gets stolen with the rest of your clubs.
Unless you're Dylan and people steal your stuff. Then you can go to Wilson's staff, which you already had. So it's perfect.
You know, I did not know that. Oh, I guess I should have known that a putter is a 10-year kind of deal, because I think I've switched putters 6 or 7 times.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they say. Because putters can be expensive, but they view it as a 10-year investment. So, like, let's say you're $400 Scotty Cameron. Yeah, that's about $40 a year.
Yeah, that was the one thing. Like, I was never going to switch back from that Scotty. And I'm going to buy that Scotty Cameron again eventually.
Yeah.
Because it was
just my something that works for now.
Yeah. And it was $60. And you
putt well with it.
Yeah. Feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, my putter was like $180 from Pyramid, I believe.
Yeah.
I loved it. Kirkland, the Costco brand, makes a Scotty Cameron basically replica for about $150 if you can find it. They're on eBay too. Same dual weights, you can change them out. But I think the last thing you would ever want to do is touch those irons though.
Yeah.
Because people are so quick to upgrade to forged irons.
Don't do that.
just those irons were great. We played them. I loved them. Like, they felt good off the... And then my toe shots weren't as bad when I was coming over the top a little bit. They weren't as bad because they were these basic clubs. Game improvement is not a bad thing. Doesn't mean you're bad. That you're not out there shooting professional. So I was greatly surprised. And I think, what did we end up shooting on that back nine? I think I was plus 2.
You got me by 1, yeah. So I think I was plus 3. You were plus 3, plus 2.
I was plus 2.
Yeah.
So I was down 5 strokes off the front nine with the Wilson clubs. And you were off like 6.
Yeah.
So... Not so that you can not shoot good that,
scores with these clubs, you know. If because I know what's going to happen is, you know, a lot of beginners, they go out to Walmart, they buy the set, they play terrible, and they're like, oh, I need nicer clubs. I need to buy $1,000 set of irons. Right. No, you're just not good at golf right now. That's just what it is. It's an unhappy truth, but you just have to practice, and you will get better. With those cheap irons, with those cheap driver and putter and wedge. And then once you feel you're a little more consistent and might be worth you spending a little extra money on clubs, you will appreciate them so much more.
Yeah.
Because if you go ahead and buy those $1,000 set of irons, trust me, you're going to hit them just as bad as you hit the $300 set of clubs.
Right. And more often you'll actually hit them worse.
Yeah.
Than better. Because they have way less forgiveness on them. But the point of the Wilson extravaganza was to show that you can, if you want new clubs or if you feel like getting into golf but don't know what clubs to get, you can get a complete set, basic, and play well with them. The clubs are just an extension of you. So, yes, there's a lot of improvement out there, but it still has to start with you. So we played better when we used these clubs. It also was the back nine. We always play better on the back nine, but we wanted to see, can I do the same things with these basic clubs that I do with my clubs that I'm used to and hit all the time. And you can. I feel I putted better with that putter than I do with the one I just bought. The irons felt great. I think ball choice, I'm not a huge fan of Wilson balls.
No.
They make a couple higher end ones that we didn't try. there was a 50 compression that we did use, which means it's got a ton of compression on it. It feels odd hitting it. So I would just stick with a ball that you're comfortable with.
For the first year, balls need to be the least of your worry anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever you can get. Yeah. Bet the Walmart bag of balls, 40 balls for like $10. Knock yourself out.
Because you're going to lose them. So just don't spend too much. Because then you don't have to worry about finding them so much. You can just drop another one and hit it and keep moving.
Yep. And that brings us right back to slow play. Do not spend 20 minutes looking for your ball when you're just going to, you're just going to slice another one into the woods after that. So.
But I'll tell you, the fact that we shot well on the back nine, I knew we would play okay with the clubs, but I was just surprised that they didn't feel as foreign to me.
Yeah.
So if you got grandpa's old clubs that you just hate and you want to you're getting into golf, but you don't know what to do, I would tell somebody if someone was asking me, get this Wilson set.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've got like four of them on there. They've got a couple like just above, like a little bit nicer ones. We just tried this Wilson Ultra set. Yeah. But.
And there's tons of different companies that offer beginner sets like that for around the same price.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just shop around.
I mean, you're not like Dylan was saying, just because you're playing bad, that's not the clubs. So. Yeah.
That's why you can play well with cheap clubs.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you can basically play well with cheap clubs.
Yeah.
Now, when you get good enough where you want to control the ball more than the clubs will let you do, that's when it's the clubs.
Yeah. And we're talking 3-4 years down the road of playing golf, usually.
It's like professionals. You know, it's like if this one, it's like, oh, I need to hit it a real low draw, then instead of like a stock shot, that's when the specific set of club, like a more forged set, will be worth it, because it may be tough to do it with beginner sets, but you have to be able to first off hit a shot like that consistently. And like, I couldn't, if someone's like hit it real low this way, I could maybe out of 10 times, I could do it half. Might. It's like, I'm in no way in a position to go get forged irons or a higher set of iron.
Yeah.
I would be fine if I was starting out. I would be perfectly content with this beginner set.
Absolutely. And you can get it for $300.
Or
you could get them for free. And Cam will tell you how.
I'm going to tell you. So part of this was we wanted to give somebody the experience of using these clubs. So we're actually doing a giveaway, guys, for a brand new set, this Wilson Ultra set, brand new in the box. And we're going to tell you how to enter, okay? We're going to post a picture on our Instagram when this podcast posts, right? So what you're going to do is follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And Dylan, what's our Twitter tag? On Instagram, it's Bogey or Better Podcast on Instagram, and on Twitter,
our Twitter is Bogey or Better.
Bogey or Better. Mm-hmm. So go follow them, and then tag two friends on the Wilson post, and then subscribe, rate, and review our podcast wherever you listen to the podcast. And on your review, make sure you put your Instagram or Twitter handle so that we can put you in and make sure that you get credit for that. And when you do those things, you'll be entered in to win the free set, $300 value. Like I said, full set of clubs, you'll be set. You won't need anything else. And I think we said it'll be a week long. So the winner of the giveaway will be announced on our next podcast, right, Dylan?
That's what we're doing. That's right.
So,
and we'll post it on Instagram as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll post a lot of content. We'll make sure you have ample opportunity to see it. But we just want to make sure if you listen to this podcast, that's great. That's the start. We want people to feel comfortable coming here, listen about golf, maybe get a few tips and a few laughs, but we wanted to do something to help the brand of the Bogey or Better podcast and the ones out there that want to improve their golf game as well. We didn't make it too difficult. There's nothing crazy you got to do. Once you see the post, it'll have the rules, and we hope you win. Get as many people as you can to sign up. We'd love to have a nice full set of names to pick from. I know for sure.
Yep. So you can get out there, guys, and we want you on the golf course. We just don't hold us up as well, but we want you on the golf course.
With those new clubs, you can hit them and play fast. And we look forward to seeing everybody engaging on that post and listening. And like I said, we'll announce the winner next week. And we look forward to that. And I guess that'll wrap up today's episode.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to seeing it, to conversing with everybody. Reach out. You can contribute and support us on anchor.fm/bogey or better. That's where our webpage is set up for our podcast. And we will see all you bogey machines next week.
See you guys next week.
Have a good one.